Welcome, Nintendorks, to episode 121 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where this week we're playing with power. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And we're happy to introduce special guest host and Nintendo expert and advocate, Nick. Say hello, Nick.
Hello, everyone.
Nick is, of course, joining us because this episode is all about Nintendo. The Nintendo that was, the Nintendo that is, the Nintendo that we dream might someday be again.
Oh, it will.
Here's hoping. And we'll help them in this episode. But before we move on to the big N, we'll kick things off in our usual Nerdstravaganza style with our weekly, geekly update. Nick, since this is your first time on the show, why don't you do the honors and go first?
All right, well, let's see where I can begin. Well, really, I've been on a TV show binge. I watched Breaking Bad within a week last week, and now I started Lost. I don't know where to transition. Was going from one of the greatest television shows of all time recently, and then this particular show, which I've heard maybe mixed reviews about the end, but probably an okay show overall. So I've just been doing a lot of TV show watching, and I guess it would be appropriate for me to be talking about games. Gaming-wise, I still play a lot of Hearthstone, the Blizzard card game. You guys may be familiar with it. Actually just hit 20 million members, so go them. And I'm just about finishing up on Red Dead Redemption, basically the same old song and dance from the Rockstar Studios, basically a GTA Western style. So that's what I've been pretty much consumed with.
Red Dead Redemption, you playing that on console or Steam or what?
Yeah, I'm playing that on PS3.
Oh, nice. Was that a PS Gold download, or just a game you had in your library that you finally got around to?
It was actually gifted to me last year, like early last year, because I gave a buddy of mine a video card, and he didn't know how to repay me, so we went to GameStop, and he suggested this game. And I kind of had it sitting in my glorious backlog for about 6 or 7 months. And then I just said, hey, well, I'm just going to go ahead and pick it up. So, yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's everything you expect from, like, a Rockstar game. Like, solid storyline. Gameplay. Here's my gripe about, like, GTA in general. Like, I haven't played 5 yet. I'll probably wait for the PC version to come out. But it's basically a collection of shitty mini-games in one game, is the way I see it, me personally. And, like, people, like, gasp and blaspheme about that. I was like, it's the truth. I mean, if you look at the early GTA games, it's like, you know, like, they were terrible, terrible games with terribly, terribly clunky, like, controls. So, I mean, maybe that changes in 5 for all I know. I guess I'll have to wait and see.
Everybody says 5 is awesome, but I'm waiting for a next-gen release on that.
Ooh, 6 would be beautiful. Considering what they did with last-gen, and then porting it over to current-gen, and kind of beefing up the graphics a little bit, probably like the textures and stuff, and the frame rate, but it should, if that is what they can do with 5, beefing it up a little bit, I can only imagine what 6 would look like, or whatever other game they'd like to churn out.
Yeah, one developed for the new gen consoles specifically instead of ported would be pretty impressive. Brian, why don't you weigh in on the open world kind of mayhem games like Red Dead and Grand Theft? Are you a fan?
I've never really played a Grand Theft Auto. I've dicked around with them. I'd pick it up and just run a few, like, I guess, missions, but I've never sat down and, like, started a character from start to finish or followed the storyline or anything like that. Just a good way to, forgive the pun, kill a few hours.
Cool. Is that pretty much rounded out for you, Nick? Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, that's really about it. I'm probably, after I finish Red Dead, I'm going to start up Ninja Gaiden 2 on the Xbox 360. I've really been meaning to play that, considering I was a very big fan of the, I guess you could say, like, the first reboot of Ninja Gaiden. So, and it was the creator's last one that he worked on before splitting off to work on that Devil's Third game or whatever he's working on right now that's exclusively for the Wii U.
Ah.
So.
How appropriate.
I know, right?
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden, I hear those are hard. Good luck.
Goddamn it is. Yeah, I'm going to be extremely frustrated when I get around to it.
better you than me. All right, does that wrap it up for you?
yeah, that wraps it up.
Okay, cool. Brian, over to you, man. What's up?
Well, I'm happy to report that we actually have some X-Wing gaming going on our originally exclusively X-Wing game night at the Adventure Game Store. I think his name is Richard. Richard has showed up twice in a row, and we've played an actual real game of X-Wing each time. That was fun. And I guess we're, you know, now that people are playing, other people are asking about it. So maybe that'll grow a little bit. We can do board gaming and X-Wing. I'd like that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And other than that, I'm in Orlando. I took a trip to Orlando, but I took a rather different route. Have you ever heard of Megabus?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I took a Megabus to Orlando, and it was like, I think it was $17.
Yep.
Wow.
So it was dirt cheap. It was pretty comfortable. If you know me, you know I'm abnormally tall, so I don't really fit in a lot of like buses and cars and things like that. I would not have wanted to have shared a seat with someone, but since the bus was not completely packed, I was able to stretch out a little bit. Totally tolerable.
And generally safer than, like, you would say Greyhound?
Well, certainly cheaper.
Yeah, definitely cheaper. I've actually considered using it, too, so good to hear that somebody else has given it a shot.
I kind of recommend it. It was 3.5 hours from Hollywood, because there's a central station there, to, like, the middle of Orlando. So convenient mass transit to and from both locations. You cannot beat that price. I mean, that it would have cost, even in my own car, forgetting wear and tear and tires, it would have cost more than that in gas.
Yeah, what about like $60 or so?
Yeah, 40 on mine probably.
And that's just the one way too. On the way back, you got to put in another 40. So yeah, you definitely came out pretty good.
Yep.
That's interesting. The mass transit geek in me wants to just completely devote the whole episode to this now, but I'll contain myself.
It's funny because I was actually looking at the Megabus website last night, and I saw that it's owned by Coach USA. You know, that big, like, chain of, buses?
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty interesting. Like, I saw it at the bottom corner of the website, so...
$17. Instinctively, I think with that low of a price point, I'm going to be on there with, like, thugs and hooligans, but it wasn't so.
I guess not.
It was a mixed bag. I immediately went upstairs and, like, kind of in the back just so I could, like, stare out a window and forget about it. There were some definite smells emanating from the front.
Wait, like bodily secretion smells?
Yeah, there were some bodily odors. I mean...
Ugh, God.
But it was not bad. No one was disrespectful. No one had any problems or anything like that. So I could definitely tolerate that crowd. I mean, shit, I can game with them. I can...
It was more kind of the mutant-style people than, like, the thugs I was expecting?
No, it was just kind of smelly people. You know, sometimes they've been on a bus a little too long, I think.
Which is sad, because they all got on at Hollywood.
Well, no. I got on at Hollywood. They had traveled from Miami, so...
all of 20 minutes, and they stink.
Help me out, Tom.
I'm trying. Oh, that's interesting, man. So you took Megabus, you're in Orlando, you're doing all kinds of geeky stuff up there, I presume.
I'm going to try. Something always happens. Something always prevents me from hitting Cloak and Blaster.
Oh, man, you got to.
I'm going to definitely try. There's a trivia game tomorrow night, which isn't terribly geeky, but there's a lot of geeky teams. There's, like, you know, the Doctor Who team and the old school, like, geek team. So I'll be with geeks doing not terribly geeky. And it's a food and wine festival at Disney, which I guess foodies are geeks too, right?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I'm going to agree with Nick on that one, yeah. are you going to hit Disney, or is that part of your plan?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to abuse someone's good nature. I have a friend who works there who can, like, gets comp tickets every so often.
Ah, okay.
So if he has a day off, I will be going to it with him. I'm not really sure what his schedule is yet, though.
I'm really kind of intrigued about this Megabus thing. I may have to try to take that on my next Disney trip to see if that's possible.
The thing that I like most about Megabus is they have it set up so you can get on to Miami and obviously you go to Hollywood, or you can go to Orlando. And then Orlando, you can like switch buses. There's another bus that takes you to Atlanta. And then, of course, just like flying, Atlanta is like the hub. You can pretty much go anywhere.
Yeah, you see, I noticed that too, because when I was looking at it last night, I was like, well, are you only allowed to stay in Florida? But I did the same thing. When I did departing from Orlando, I noticed I can branch out to like other avenues. And I was like, well, this makes it even better, really. I mean, it's just the only thing is that I've noticed, and I'm sure you noticed it too, is the length of the drive. Takes a little bit longer than you probably would normally with any other drive, like if you were driving yourself, that is.
It depends on what stops you get, because I took the direct and it was 3.5 hours from Hollywood to Orlando.
Gotcha.
That's not bad. I mean, that's you know, you can do it in 3 if you kind of speed or whatever, but 3.5's not too bad. One of the other rides, what you saw, was I think 7 hours to get to Orlando.
Yeah.
But that was not the direct route. I think they actually stopped in Tampa first and then came back or something bizarre like that. Like,
wow, gotcha.
Man, they have a direct option. I really, really have to get off the topic of Megabus because I've got like 50 questions to ask you now. Maybe after the episode.
We'll take this offline.
Yeah, we'll offline this sucker, right. So anything else?
That is it.
All right, make sure you hit up Cloak and Blaster and report back.
Next week.
Awesome. All right. That brings it around to me. Been doing a fair amount of video gaming. Still enjoying the classic game Pop LaCroix, which may or may not end with an S, on the PlayStation Portable. And let's see if I'm doing that. I have been playing a little World of Warcraft. I hit my level 85 cap and then caved in and bought the stupid Panda Bear expansion so I could keep going.
Oh my god. Nice.
Yeah, but like I'm playing WoW in like the way, like it's impossible for me to play MMORPGs the correct way anymore because I don't have friends to play with. Like I just like straight up solo, and my friend that got me back into WoW announced that he's no longer playing. So like it's just me soloing and like rebuffing one guild invite after another as I solo my way through this multiplayer game.
Like don't you hate when that happens, when somebody gets you into something and they kind of like bail out of it?
Oh yes. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
That's pretty lame. But you know, I see what you're probably doing. You're probably accepting like pug groups and stuff too to get through like certain quests and stuff. Maybe if you want to go through like a dungeon or two. I never played WoW, but like you know, that's just the general experience from like a lot of MMOs and stuff. So are you in that realm?
Yeah, I grouped up with some guy the other day just to get through like a tough quest that I couldn't solo, and then I was like, all right, peace, and we just like went our separate ways afterwards. But yeah, I don't, no interaction, no guilds, nothing. And I think I'm gonna kind of hit the level 90 cap and then maybe just call it quits until I can get more people on board, especially in light of the fact that I am excited again about Final Fantasy 14, because it's only going on for probably a week, but they announced another stupid Dragon Quest crossover where like golems from Dragon Quest are now wandering around in the world.
Oh, I saw you post about that on the Facebook page.
Super Saiyan Team Golem?
Yeah, they look cool. And I have been for a long time wishing I could get people to play Final Fantasy XIV with me. It really is a fun game, and it's set in the Final Fantasy setting. Hint, hint, if you guys are interested.
I'll consider.
Yeah, so Final Fantasy XIV has me kind of excited. Let's see. I did a little in-person gaming. I went to GameWorks. I'm still up here in Seattle. I took public transit and went down there to play some arcade games. That was a good time. And finally, I visited Vernon Wells, which I mentioned was a place I learned about at PAX. It is basically like a geek club. They bill it as a professional club for professional geeks. It's a place to which you can basically go like after work or whatever. If you're a member, you just have 24-hour card access, and they have like a huge gaming library. They have like all the snacks you could want. They have a video game room, etc., Wi-Fi, obviously. And you just go there and go on the Facebook group. Hey, I'm here. People show up, play with you, whatever. But basically, it's like your own little social club, but it's definitely geek-themed. Very well-appointed. in a really nice like office space. I was very impressed. They held an open house that they invited people to at PAX. I took advantage and came away quite impressed. I would love to open such a place.
Okay, okay, all right. All right, Tom, quit trying to rope me into Seattle, right? It's sounding really awesome.
it just gets better and better. Just move on out, man. I'm either trying to transform our area of South Florida or get all of my friends to move up here to Seattle. One or the other.
Well, I'm definitely looking to at least be on the West Coast in sometime in the near future, I hope.
Brian, you going to move out here or what?
That would be a hard sell for me. Not necessarily because I dislike Seattle for any reason. Just, I don't know, I kind of like Fort Lauderdale.
Alright, I do too. I kind of do too. I don't hate it, I just want it to change.
Well, just change it with me.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, Nick, you got to take a job in Fort Lauderdale. We have to fix things there before we can move permanently.
I actually love Fort Lauderdale. I mean, it's changed so much in the past several years that compared to now, you know? I mean, does anybody else see it that way? I know I do.
No, it's definitely... things are moving in the right direction. It's just that when I go to Seattle, it's like I hit a fast-forward button. Like, this is where Fort Lauderdale will be in 10 more years. Maybe.
Yeah, I get that. Maybe I should mega-bus my way up to Seattle, see if that's cheaper than a plane ticket.
It only costs you like $8, so yeah, I would do it.
But it'll only take me 48 hours to get there.
Yeah, but your olfactory senses will be completely overwhelmed, according to Brian, by the time you arrive, so.
Mm. Hey, one bad apple. Come on.
Yeah, that's all it takes to stink up a bus. you didn't get knifed, though, and that's the bottom line. So good. Good for Megabus, and good for Nick's plans to travel. All right. Well, all that out of the way, that concludes my update. I think we should get into tonight's topic, which is... one near and dear to our hearts, that being, of course, Nintendo. Beloved Nintendo, that savior of the video game industry that kept things going when the Atari Empire fell in the early 80s. I think it's safe to say that Nintendo was a pretty big part of our childhood, all three of us. Nick, full disclosure, you're a little bit younger than Brian and I. Probably a little bit is an understatement. But was Nintendo... I mean, for Brian and I... First of all, let me not speak for Brian. Brian, Nintendo was pretty freaking huge when you were a kid, right?
Nintendo was pretty much synonymous with video game.
Right. That's my feeling, too. And that was the case for sure when we were kids. Sega was out there in the 8-bit days, but they didn't really mount a significant opposition until the Genesis came out.
Kind of. Like, even the Genesis was last days. For the years that it was a contest, I always felt they were in second place.
I think of Super NES compared to Genesis, and I think that Genesis was the clear leader. But no, that was Sega fighting against the NES and the Super NES, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, well, competition is always healthy. And, yeah, I mean, it definitely... kept Nintendo on their toes.
Yeah, without a doubt. So Nick, by the time you were growing up, was Nintendo still the dominant force, or was there sort of a more competitive landscape?
Yeah, it was competitive. It was more neck and neck. I mean, I started playing like games at the age of like 3 as a tot, but the first system was the Nintendo. Then, you know, there's always been, like, you know, solid franchises amongst both systems, but, you know, as you were saying with video games being synonymous, like, it was definitely, Mario was the clear cut, like, you know, at how you would associate Hulk Hogan with, like, pro wrestling, you know, it was just the household name. But, I mean, if you were just a little bit more into video games, then you knew about Sonic as well, but we're not here to talk about that Blue Hedgehog anyways. But, as far as, like, me actually growing up, like, through grade school, like, with video gaming, yeah, Nintendo was pretty much neck and neck with the Genesis throughout the time.
No clueless grandma ever walked into a Sears and said, "Give me that new Sega."
correct.
She said that Nintendo, no matter which system she meant.
And the video game of choice was always, no matter what it was Mario. Or Mario, wherever you're from.
Right. The correct pronunciation is definitely regional, let's say. But, you know, you guys make a good point. Nintendo became the Coke of video games, right? Like, give me a Coke. Give me a Nintendo game.
Yes.
Or Nintendo, as it was called by some elders in my family. Much too. Oh, really?
Nice.
Yes. Quit playing that Nintendo. Why? Why do I have to quit playing?
I'm not playing Nintendo.
Oh, wait, I would say that, too. And then they're like, don't get smart.
Nice.
You're an adult. You're supposed to know how to pronounce stuff.
this foreign word, Japanese, Chinese-ish kind of thing going on. What is this Nintendo, you know?
You know, that was kind of it. And it's funny that you mentioned that. Brian, I believe you had the same economics teacher because we went to the same high school. Bristow, does that ring a bell?
Yeah, Mr. Bristow.
Well, when we were in high school, it was the height of the Japan is taking over the world, like, craze. Like, we were in recession and Japan was doing really well. It turned out they were really just inflating a huge economic bubble, but it looked like they just couldn't be beat. And he would play for us. This is by the time, you know, we were getting our Super Nintendos and so on, but he would play for us these, like, basically these propaganda pieces from Nightline and stuff about how Japan's going to war with us, and the Super Nintendo is made only in Japan, and the only presence Nintendo has here is a warehouse in Seattle, which seemed like a faraway place I didn't know anything about back then.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I think it was seen as a foreign product to a certain extent by certain people. I'm not sure if that's why people in my family pronounce it Nintendo. I think it was just maybe an adult not giving a crap, but could have been.
I'll go with that.
But, yeah, definitely an interesting time with Nintendo, quote-unquote, invading and taking over. And so their chief competitor for a while was Sega, a company that I believe was started by an American in Japan, but was nevertheless a Japanese company. So for quite a time, you had Japanese companies dominating gaming, and Nintendo definitely wearing the crown as the definer of video gaming for quite a long time. And I don't know about you guys, like, I was okay with that. I have a lot of fond memories from the golden, I won't say golden era, but I'll say from Nintendo's golden age as I define it.
For, like, the Super Nintendo?
For me, it was the Super Nintendo.
Well, no, well, then that's clear-cut answer, and the only definitive answer is that the golden era of video gaming, like, comes from Super Nintendo. There's no question about that. Every genre that they've touched, like, through that system has been, like, no pun intended, golden. Like, there's no other way around it. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. It wasn't the PlayStation 1. It wasn't the PlayStation 2. It wasn't the Dreamcast. It wasn't the Sega Saturn. Like, it was the Super NES was the clear-cut, like, I don't know. I saw it that way, too. I thought it was one of the, maybe the greatest system that was ever produced.
Brian, I knew there was a reason we had this guy on. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. What do you think, sir? I'm going to agree with Nick pretty wholeheartedly that for me, like, my most fond video game memories were during the 16-bit era and during the reign of the Super NES. And not to downplay Sega, I also enjoyed a lot of stuff on the Genesis, but the Super NES was like the pinnacle for me.
Oh, I loved Sega. I loved Sega. I mean, I think I gave more support to Sega than Super NES, but I'm just speaking in retrospect. Like,
I hear you.
I mean, I was probably, well, all right, I ain't gonna lie. Like, there was maybe one other person on my block, but I was one of the two the only two on my block that owned a Sega channel. So,
wow.
Which was innovative for its time, really. Which was one of the best things I've experienced in gaming as a child, because they were cycling in new games, whether it be demos or full-fledged games, every month. And we had that subscribed for like a good bit until it just kind of fizzled out. But that's my little bit on Sega. Don't worry, I still give Sega some love. Any multi-platform games at the time, even though they were inferior, I got them for Sega. So,
wow, that's commitment. Okay, so two things. One, I think that we have a evolution of online gaming topic, starting with the Sega channel to discuss for the future. But two, Brian, I want your opinion. Nick and I are definitely hanging the crown of Golden Age on the 16-bit / Super NES era. What are your thoughts?
I guess I'm going to pick up Devil's Advocate for most of this episode. I really loved the Nintendo, the NES days and the Super Nintendo days, but I just think as an industry, you couldn't possibly call those the golden era when you're looking at the sales record of the early CD systems.
Oh, but you can't do that. I mean, because, well, you can, but I wouldn't validate that because I think, I don't know, it was just, that's a different time, that's a different generation, and casual, like, gamer just was starting to, like, it started to flourish from there.
I'm still intrigued, though. Brian, finish your point.
Yeah, no, continue.
PlayStation 1 started it with appealing to a mass market, with appealing to what I kind of call the frat crowd, but I don't really mean that, like...
No, say it like you want to say it. It's a stupid frat crowd that got into a particular game.
I'm going to go ahead and definitely back you up on that one. I was in the Air Force, and we didn't have frats, but we definitely had frat-type guys. They were definitely in a PlayStation.
That's exactly what I mean. Like, the frat-type guys, no matter where they were. So I didn't want to say frat, but, like, those kind of guys that were, like, they weren't nerds, they weren't geeks, but, dude, Madden's cool. And then, Jesus Christ, Halo, that was a second generation CD, right?
Oh, God, yes.
And, yeah. And personally, and I'll probably get shit for this, I hate Halo. I played it for like an hour, and I was like, dude, this fucking sucks. I don't like these games. Like, but to say, to try to discount Halo's importance, I don't think you can. Those systems were responsible for video gaming being around today.
I think it's influenced that. It's definitely influenced, like, those people, those developers that created those games. It was because they were influenced by Nintendo and some Sega.
Let me ask you this. What was your favorite game on the Nintendo, or the Super Nintendo?
A Link to the Past.
How is its sequels doing today?
Oh, the sequel actually did well, right? Like, the sequel that it had. You mean the direct sequel that came out for 3DS? Or
it's
just
intellectual property.
Zelda. Zelda in general, yeah.
Oh, it's huge. What do you mean? It's like the number two in the Nintendo franchises. I mean, everybody can say, like, it'll probably be the same old, like, song and dance, but it hasn't stopped people from buying the games, no?
Okay, now, buying the games in what numbers? Is it bigger than Halo?
It probably is, yes. Especially if you want to say globally, like, definitely.
I don't know about that.
What? Are you serious? Did anybody bring stats?
I didn't, but...
Is it really? It's bigger than Zelda? I don't think so.
Well, we don't have stats, but my gut feeling is... And I think I'm going to get to what I perceive to be Brian's larger point. Nintendo was probably, for, like, quote-unquote core gamers like us, the Super NES era was the golden age, because they just dished out stuff that we liked, games for gamers, because that's who played games back then. But yeah. Nowadays, and this really happened in the 32-bit era in a huge way, gaming is an expanded market. And yeah, I'm sure Zelda sells like gangbusters, but stack that up to Call of Duty. Stack that up to... Put it this way, the mindshare that traditional games that we enjoyed on the 16-bit systems versus the mindshare enjoyed by the first-person shooters, the sports games, and the beat-em-ups.
I would prefer to play Zelda any day of the week, but I still can ask you this question. Was it bigger than Diablo 3?
Yeah, I could say that it is.
Diablo 3 is the best-selling video game of all time.
And also the shittiest game of all time, too.
I agree with you 100%. I hate that game, but it is the best-selling video game of all time.
How is that possible?
It sold 6 million copies in 24 hours.
Oof. I thought Call of Duty, one of the Call of Duties, were one of the best-selling of all time.
It probably was before Diablo. I'm pretty sure Diablo still holds that crown.
Hmm. I'm going to have to take a look-see later on. But, yeah, I mean, well, okay, there's no, like, saying that All right, yeah, that some of these games have probably been proven to be bigger, but I don't think it's the biggest. I mean, it may be big for now, but I don't know. I still think Super NES is really like the core of what gaming has flourished into today. Not even specifically the Super NES, but that particular generation and the kids growing up playing it, because you know that's probably why, like, there's 70% of the developers that are out there today, maybe even more of a higher percentage.
Well, I don't disagree. Look, I started off by saying Nintendo kind of resurrected and kept gaming going after Atari collapsed, and that's true. And Nintendo I definitely view as being foundational, and that will always be, for me, the golden age. But in terms of a cultural force, video gaming reached the mass, the critical mass it reached under the Sony and Microsoft.
Oh, well, that's a definite, yeah. I'll agree with that, because that's what's roped in a lot of the casuals. And you gotta think, before the Halos, there was the GoldenEyes that was roping in everybody on the N64. That was the first-person shooter. It even got overshadowed by Perfect Dark, which was leaps and bounds. It was more of a spiritual, like, successor to GoldenEye. And it was a far superior game, but as far as I know, nobody picked it up as much as, like, GoldenEye.
No, it was meant to be like an answer, like, hey, this is what GoldenEye should have been if we'd known it was going to be such a hit.
Yeah.
And it was a great game, but yeah, it did not win as big. So, this is interesting. Brian, do you agree with Nick's kind of assessment that the market grew as it sucked in more, quote-unquote, casuals?
For the sake of argument, I can give him that. I don't think he uses casuals in the same sense I do.
Well, I think we're going to get to a definition of casual shortly, because moving from the past into kind of the present, and of course we can visit any era we want. Our time machine goes in both directions. But as things stand now, Nintendo, at least when it comes to the console, handheld is maybe a different story, seems... Okay, good, it is. We can say that. But seems to occupy a niche. It is popular with a certain set, mainly people who are Nintendo fans. But I don't think that you can say it is the dominant system among hardcore gamers, right? Among the...
No, you're right.
So... It's interesting that on one hand, we praise Nintendo, or at least Nick and I praise Nintendo, for reigning over a hardcore golden era. But now in the present day, it's hard for me to think of what niche they occupy. Is it just the Nintendo niche?
I guess you would say, like Nintendo faithfuls, Weeaboos, which they acquire Sony as well. And they X out Microsoft, even though Microsoft is still a halfway decent system. You know, I would say, like, those are the categories. Like, I don't think the casuals that picked up the Wii, the original Wii, like, really caught on to the Wii U. Obviously, for not the first year. Now it's obviously been established that the Wii U is a separate system, but it's a little too late for that. Maybe they picked it up, maybe they didn't. I'm going to say no. Or else we would have been seeing the same sales that we saw for the Wii. Not the same, but maybe close to what...
At least one-tenth.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that's my bit.
I have a great answer for this, and it's going to sound like a joke. I think you're going to laugh, but you'll probably, like, weep a little bit when you let it sink in. It's the same niche that it filled in 1995.
Good chance.
That's kind of what I was asking in a roundabout way, Brian, is whether it is. You think so?
Yeah, I do, because it's not hardcore gamers, and it's not the casuals. It's that kind of, like, gamer kid that was into it before it was cool and doesn't really want to do everything online, you know, wants to have, like, a good first player experience. It likes the aesthetic instead of, like, the uber realistic graphics that, like, you know, Xbox pumps out these days. It's the same kind of fan.
Ah, oh, man, it's hard for me to disagree with that. I know, and I think you too, Nick. I mean,
oh yeah, that's a strong statement, and it's true. But that, I think that's where the Nintendo faithful kind of falls in. Now, weeaboos, I can't explain that at all.
But that's a Nick. Full disclosure, and I hope that Brian will agree with me. I'm not trying to classify him. I think Brian and I were sort of proto weeaboos in our own way back in the day. You agree,
yeah,
with that, Brian?
I have wrestled with this question. I don't think we were, because, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I always welcome counter points, but you and I were never like the smelly, unwashed, like shiftless layabouts.
True.
I mean, weeaboo is like dedicated, has no life except waifu and rainbows.
well, that's the radical weeaboo. But I mean, there is the category of weeaboo where you feel that Japan is superior to some extent to America.
I have felt otaku since I knew the term.
Oh God! Well, I ain't gonna lie. I bash on these weeaboos, but I definitely had my moment of weeabooism. As Tom has pointed out in my younger years, he's subtly said it, but then like he thought I still carried the tradition, but no, I'm American made, like born and bred, proud. Don't mess with Texas. What? So, but yeah, it's going off on this weeaboo stuff, but yeah, that's. I mean, I'm not afraid to say it. I was at some point in time, but that's all in the past, guys.
If I was not, I got along just fine with them.
As you would have, Brian. All right, I'll just say this on the... And man, we could do another topic on this in another show, but I'll say this in closing on this particular tangent. There was a time, Brian, when we were like teenagers, when like like a video game or a...
Cartoon.
Cartoon or something would come out, and we... dude, it's American. I don't think so.
And that's the first step to weeabooism, really. I mean, I know I've had my fair share of moments, especially like when the like anime was hot, which it was like really booming, like as far as fan subbing goes. Like I was pretty much in the origins of fan subbing, and like that's when it really like took off. And but, you know, that's just, that's really the first step. But, we're so derailed, it's funny.
Yeah.
I love
it. Let's get back on. I think Brian will at least admit that we favor Japanese things to a certain extent. We may have been classified as proto-weeaboos, but regardless, here we sit, all three admitted weeaboos or proto-weeaboos or weeaboo sympathizers. But... not everybody here is on board with the Wii U. Nick, you and I are, but Brian, and I'm kind of curious because I would consider you somebody who is kind of on board with the program. You're not into the Wii U at all.
I would be if it were 1995 and there was no gaming gaming market outside of it.
Well, that's a whole different thing on top of that, because we are oversaturated with video games. All three of us combined don't have enough lifetime to play all the games that are out there.
But let me ask you this, how many Link's Awakening remakes are you going to play?
I only played one, but that's besides the point. I mean, really...
Wait, no, Brian's making a point here. Brian, is the point you're making that Nintendo, I mean, they seem to just be shoveling out stuff to the Nintendo faithful and just banking on that?
There's oversaturation of video games in... Jesus, my phone has more video games than the Wii U.
Well, it's quality over quantity, so...
But there's like five properties for the Wii U.
No, I think you're understating. I mean,
there might be as many as 12 to 13.
Well, even that might be overstating. I think it's somewhere between the 15 and 13, or the 5 and the 13 realm. And then some franchises don't even get touched, but that's something we can get into in a bit when we talk about improving Nintendo.
Brian, why do you think that is? Why do you think Nintendo is basically just like an in-house developer for its own system, and that's about the extent of their ecosystem?
You know, I was trying to explain this to someone earlier. I was hanging out with a friend, and they asked, so what's the topic tonight? And I was trying to explain how we were going to fill an hour or an hour and a half talking about, you know, Nintendo. Nintendo is 90% a Japanese company.
Yeah.
And this lifestyle is fucking shameful in Japan.
Oh, you mean this podcast would be all about a shameful lifestyle over there?
It would be.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
They do not have respect for people who don't go to college, get good grades, get a good job, and work themselves to fucking death.
We went to college. I think all of us went to college, though. We got good grades.
Yeah.
Well,
fairly.
Do you... Dude, they pass out on the trains and just ride around all night and go back to work the next day in the same clothes.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
There might be some truth to that, but...
You just dishonored your ancestors by even laughing at that, Tom.
Oh, sorry. I did not mean to dishonor my ancestors by implying that devoting your entire life to work before you die is not the best course of action. Wait, so Japan, the country that spawned modern gaming and that is still very influential in the gaming scene, frowns on the quote-unquote, otaku lifestyle, right? I mean, that's a term of denigration over there, is it not?
Of course it is. But, I mean, that's, if you have everything within, like, a certain balance, I mean, it's, I'm not going to win this one.
I'll break it into demographics. What demographic did Super Nintendo appeal to?
Us.
No, us in 1995.
Kids?
Oh, yeah, teenagers, yeah. Yeah, and
so,
kids, yeah.
Male... 16 to 24.
Sure.
Okay.
Was there anything that appealed to adults? Male, female, 25 to 35, 45, 55, 65?
Well, if Nintendo licensed out their characters to pachinko machines, then yes, that could be a possibility, but that's besides the point.
In the U.S., at least, there were no pachinko machines that I was aware of, so... No, adults did not play video games, and it was barely tolerated for kids to do it for a while.
In Nintendo's world today, is there anything that appeals to that golden demographic? Male, female, 25 to 40. The money spenders, basically.
The people who even grew up with them. I mean, it seems like they're hitting me up a lot on the nostalgia.
I was just about to say nostalgia is pretty much the train it's going to be riding.
And just by definition, nostalgia does not invite any new customers.
Oh, God, that makes me feel terrible.
I feel indifferent. I mean, it could still appeal to younger generations as well.
You're right. The 15 to 24 market. So once you get out of college, when you're like 21, 22... Get a job. Stop buying this silly shit.
So you're saying Nintendo's fan base is either an incestuous mix of fanboys or a temporary audience of kids who transition through a certain phase and then move on?
I think their goal is temporary audience who transitions and moves on and produces a new audience. Which currently is a huge problem in Japan because they're not having any children.
So, right. So there's no new children to be the next generation who encounter Pokemon. And, hey, it's new to me, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So, and Nintendo makes children's programming, and in Japan there's no children to watch it. And over here, the children have more compelling things to watch.
Or, like us, we were accidental fans in the 90s. They didn't mean to appeal to us. They got lucky and appealed to some of us. And they still are, so good for them, but they're not trying to expand it. Here's another number for you to look up when we're offline, Nick. Look up the marketing budget for the Wii U for the first year.
All right. Noted.
How many thousands did they spend, Brian? I mean, before we look it up.
It was in the thousands.
That's not possible.
You remember the launch, right?
Oh.
Was there a single ad?
I see where you're getting at. It was terrible. It was terribly marketed. That's why I didn't... anybody that was, like, even remotely paying attention to this noticed how terrible it was. People didn't even know about it. You didn't even see a proper commercial until literally a year later.
They had a major problem with all of the older folks thinking it was an upgrade for the Wii, and they did absolutely nothing to dispel that rumor.
Yeah, because they were still kind of riding that Wii train and expecting, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? They assumed that they would realize that it was a new console, but nobody was able to properly explain that.
They literally did not try to sell the machine for a year.
Yeah.
So I think Nintendo, I think they were betting on the Wii brand name. Selling the system. Like, this is another Wii. I got the Wii. It's the Wii. But at that point, they should have known that the Wii, the original Wii, was a fluke, was a device that appealed to people way outside the traditional gaming set.
I know people who thought the Wii U was the pretty controller with the screen.
It basically is, but...
So if I have a Wii, I can buy the Wii U and just use that controller, right?
Well, if the price point was low enough and people did it anyways, it wouldn't have mattered. Oh, I don't use the old Wii with this. I use the new one, right? But yeah, that is what people think, Brian. You're right. I think Nintendo might have been thinking, like, somebody would have shelled out $300, gotten home, like, oh, what do you know? It's a brand new system. Okay, more Wii, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. What was their strategy?
There was no strategy. I mean, there was... I can't even say there was minimal strategy, because if you kept up with the, like, the news, like, reading your Kotaku's or whatever website you look at, like, that's the only way you would have known that something was going down, like, as far as, like, a new system and whatnot. But as far as, like, capturing, like, anybody else, like, outside of that realm, no, there wasn't really much.
So in 2013, they were appealing to an audience with no means of making their own money and doing nothing to educate the people who would be buying them the machine.
Well, I mean, if you were working at Publix at 16, I'm sure you could have saved up a couple paychecks to get it.
I hate to keep picking on them. What game would a 16-year-old have played at launch on the Wii U?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Tank, Tank, Tank.
No, not Tank, Tank, Tank.
I like that game.
You play Nintendo Land, man. It's pretty good.
Yeah, Brian's making a lot of good points here, man. I mean, they did zero marketing. They don't really seem to be appealing to anybody except themselves. Like, we think this is a good game to launch, therefore we are creating it. And I don't see them going after really any subset of gamer. They're just kind of like, we're Nintendo, this is what we do. Whatever.
And, well, that could be true, and I don't know, that's... you're right.
If I can just tell a personal story to put, like, a pretty fine point on this, at least from my perspective, when I went to get the original Wii, I was shocked at the demand. I got to the GameStop in the mall where I bought it, like, before work at, like, 7 in the morning. There were already people queued up. They only had, I'll never forget, 18 pre-orders available, and I got number, like, 16. And then people were showing up heartbroken and buying people's pre-orders off of them, like, right there on the spot. It was insane for this thing that nobody knew anything about. They just knew it was the hot thing to get.
It had that waggle stick.
It had the waggle stick. And mind you, this is before the hype, like, going into the holidays where you couldn't get one and people were selling them on eBay for thousands and all this other craziness. By contrast, when the Wii U came out, I walked in to pre-order it, and they're like, oh, yeah, I guess we're taking pre-orders on that. Sure. And then when I showed up to get it, they were like, they looked at me like they didn't know what I was doing there. Like, that launched today? Same store!
Oh, wow. That's pretty pathetic for that particular game. You said GameStop, right?
Yeah, you know what GameStop it is. We've been to it. I think it's in the Coral Ridge Mall.
In Nintendo's defense, the staff was entirely different. So,
all the former staffers had moved on. It had been like 7 years, but still.
Well, GameStop staff is like a whole different story, really. I mean, the kind of people they let work there, ridiculous.
Another excellent show topic is
GameStop stories. I'm sure.
GameStop store. I think working there, shopping there, what we could do to fix GameStop. From a gamer's perspective, not like we're businessmen, but let's fix Nintendo first. What do you think?
All right. Yeah, we could toss out a few ideas. Got a couple up in mind.
Okay. Cool. So I think we've established that Nintendo is really not what they used to be. We're not really sure who they're trying to appeal to. Or what their strategy is to gain some market share. They don't really seem interested in selling a lot of stuff.
Well, that's really hard to say considering the recent praises that it's been getting. No?
Yeah, I will say the fanboy in me is happy about the latest lineup launching it toward the end of this year and into next year. So, Brian, before we move on to how to fix them, are you at all impressed with their current efforts?
I finally think they deserve that third place. Way to go.
Even though they're currently in second place, but who's counting?
Oh! Burn. Wait.
Well, that's not really a burn. That's just true.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to pull a fanboy angle.
Have they outsold Xbox?
Yeah. Well, I mean, considering the games that... I mean, Mario Kart 8, I mean, it wasn't the strongest seller, but it's kind of gotten people, into the boat a little bit. I think it's... I mean, I see it as being one of the... Well, that and Super Mario 3D World has been one of the few games that have been really shine, making the system shine.
So one property, Mario and Mario.
Yes!
I don't see any problem in that,
well,
really.
Well, that's kind of like saying Mickey Mouse and Mickey Mouse, I think, maybe, you know? I view Nintendo as Disney-like in their recognition, but I would like a little more diversity, Nick. I'm speaking as somebody who's a total sympathizer. I'd like a little bit of third-party development as well.
Well, you got to talk to the third-party developers then. They're the guys that don't even want to develop for the system because...
Why would you want to develop for a system? They don't advertise!
What are you talking about? They advertise it. It gets advertised.
No, they didn't. We just said they didn't. Their launch budget was $1,500 to advertise the system.
Well, I mean, you're speaking for that first year, but they've obviously picked up on it since then.
I'll grant you that. They've gotten better. I have seen some advertisement now from Wii U.
Their stupid contradicting statement from several developers. Oh, well, we don't want to make games unless the systems are being sold. Well, you can't really sell systems if you're not going to make the games. It's all about a certain risk that you're willing to take, and obviously none of them have really been able to make that. And the other thing is the reason why they have no problem making games for the other current gen systems is because it's easy to port over from PC. So apparently they don't want to take the time to learn a little bit about the Wii U and how to develop for that. But that's just my opinion, really.
Half the developers are in Microsoft's pocket, and the other half are developing for a juggernaut in the PlayStation 4. That machine is, in all honesty, 4 times more powerful than a Wii U? 5 times more powerful?
But it's a so-so machine so far. I mean, all... Both of them are really so-so. I mean, that's just me, because I really see no reason to pick any of them up. Maybe, all right, I'm kind of on the hype train for, Destiny. That game looks really cool, but other than that, there's nothing telling me, oh my god, let me save my unemployment to buy a current-gen system. Nothing's telling me to say that. And that's, an exaggeration. I wouldn't actually... No game would ever make me do that, but...
Well... I'll say this. Nintendo could always use this as a marketing pitch to third-party developers. Hey, we've got a bigger user base than the Xbox. What do you think? I mean, and maybe they'll forget the fact that, you also launched a year in advance. But
but then they also have to throw $500 million at the companies for exclusivity.
But why don't they? Nintendo, by all accounts, has a massive pile of cash, a pile of treasure that would make Scrooge McDuck and Smaug blush.
they are a billion-dollar company, but it's just they don't. That's something that Microsoft like made a trend. No, like they were the ones that first started really doing that.
Yeah. Well, why doesn't Nintendo do it? Like, just go to Square Enix. Hey guys, how about a Final Fantasy game on our system? How about at least a if not a unique game, a game with unique features or like a special, you know, Moogle mini game built in for our controller or something. You know what I mean? Is that too far off base?
Well, they don't have any problem convincing them to make games for Nintendo. It's just what system, because a lot of the Square Enix games have been going over to the 3DS.
Which I like. I own a 3DS. I don't mind a portable gaming. But in my mind, the console is still king. And I think the money and the attention needs to be spent there.
Oh, the 3DS is the best system right now, really.
I agree.
I mean, as far as like variety and like the types of games and the third party backup is really there. It's just not for the Wii U. So like on that topic, like what, like do you have any ideas of what can be done for the Wii U to like really thrive and like do a little bit better?
Super Wii U 3DS Game Boy.
A new system?
No, the adapter that lets you play your damn games on the TV. You remember the Super Game Boy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I actually thought of that idea, too, like a 3DS Wii U integration where you can kind of, like, stream the 3D screen on, like, the 3DS screen onto your TV and, like, play from there. I think that'd be a really cool idea.
I agree. And by the way, Nick, I'm going to give you top marks for that seamless transition into how to fix Nintendo. That was beautiful.
Thanks.
Something analogous to the Super Game Boy for the Wii U, so I could play my 3DS games on my screen. I would totally buy that.
I would play, like, not to say that I don't play my 3DS a lot, but I mean, I would be playing the games a lot more often if I can look at it on my, like, 40/50-inch screen, you know?
Or even the Wii U tablet.
It makes no sense to me. I cannot tell you why. But Tom is right. I would rather play on a console. I don't care about the graphics. I don't care about how much the game costs. I don't care about how long the game is. I would play Crystal Chronicles on the television.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I would play, what was that game recently? Like Bravely Fencing?
Bravely Default.
Oh, Bravely Default? Yeah.
Bravely Default. I would play that on the television.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would love that. Like, it's just, handhelds are just a different realm, really. Like, it's like not an afterthought, but, you know, there's usually a tier that follows when you want to play, like, a game. Like, it's usually the console, then right underneath is, like, not right underneath, but underneath it is handheld, you know? It's never the first thought when you're like, I want to play a game, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, exactly. The thing is, I want to play. This does happen sometimes, and I'm a person who played Dragon Quest IX all the way through on the DS, so it's not like I'm a hater of portable gaming, but sometimes when it comes to playing a portable game, you know, I just don't want to kind of sit there with that small system in my hand and stare at that tiny screen. I just want to relax and look at something on my big TV.
Agreed. And speaking of playing, like, handhelds on, like, the big screen, I mean, the Virtual Console, I mean, it's definitely a lot better than what they've had on the Wii U, the Wii library. But the Wii U library of the Virtual Console, you can play GBA games, like onto the screen and stuff. And, I mean, if they can just get that 3DS, 3DS, like, library there, whether it be, like, some kind of adapter or some kind of, like, firmware update for you to sync your 3DS and have it stream up there, I mean, I think we'd all be pretty good about that.
I kind of hate to even acknowledge this, but I think we have to admit weaknesses as an industry. They're competing with emulators for Game Boy Advanced games. They're not going to make any money with that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if there's somebody that doesn't, like, that feels to support, like, you know, the, like, just paying for that as opposed to using an emulator, there are people that will do that. Not to say that it would be, like, a huge seller or anything. Maybe a little bit more of an incentive for, like, purchasing the game. But, yeah, I agree. Emulators, like, would triumph, like, it, like, maybe 9 out of 10 times, maybe a little bit less. I don't know.
Give me a...
And normally I would complain. I would be the first to say, no, you shouldn't copy those games. No, you shouldn't download those games. Game Boy Advance is, what, 15 years old?
Yeah, you know, I would say the same thing, too. Like, I'm not an advocate to, like, of piracy, especially game piracy. And but if the games are not accessible, like, in any way for you to, like, either hook up the system or you don't have the system working or it's not available on Virtual Console, then by all means, you're good. Like, your best bet is to really, like, use the emulator. So I get what you're saying.
You know something, guys? Hearing you talk is getting me thinking. So moving away from a Super Game Boy like hardware peripheral that would let you just pop in cartridges or some kind of solution that would let you stream from your 3DS to your Wii U, why doesn't Nintendo do something like Xbox Gold or PlayStation Plus that lets you just get these virtual console games and others at a free or discounted price, just like a subscription fee. You pay so much a year. That's like money, man.
I agree with that, but Nintendo just doesn't do things like that because they're Nintendo. They don't discount their games. It's just they don't give away like freebies like that. I mean, they've done some like really special like promotions, like. Do you remember, Tom, when the Wii U first came out, and they didn't even promote this shit properly, but, like, when they were releasing some games, like, on Virtual Console, they were doing them for, like for the first few days that it was released for, like, 10 cents?
Yes.
Like, it was literally yes. 10 cents. So I picked up Super Metroid for 10 cents.
Yes.
As opposed to the $7 price mark it probably has in the eShop.
Yeah.
So, like, little things like that. But, yeah, the Xbox Live PlayStation Plus thing, like, that idea is good. And while you're at it, when you make that subscription base, have a better online experience with actual voice chat and a friends list. Like, I think that would, like, really be... I mean, they kind of have it, like, a step in the right direction. I mean, it's nowhere near as good as, like... It'll never be as good as, like, Xbox right now, but it's, like... It's a little bit above PlayStation as far as, like, voice chat. Oh, that was questionable. Anybody that wants to do voice chat, just use... I would say use Skype,
yep.
Personally.
Yes.
And the friends list is actually better than it was, like, in anything else previously that was having Nintendo use online. Because, God, did anybody ever use that, like, on the Wii... like, the original Wii, like, that...
Yes.
Friend code bullshit?
Yes, it was horrible.
I never touched it. Yeah. And it didn't even save your friend, no? You had to, like, enter it every time, no?
It saved them, and then it would, like, you could see them. I don't even remember how that worked. You could, like, play with them. It was awful, but I'm going to say this. The current friends system is not better. It's just not as bad.
Well, I guess that's a better way of putting it.
It's still unacceptable, and I hear the excuse quite a lot, like, oh, that's Nintendo. They don't do things that way. Well, you know what? It's time to do things that way. Like, we're in 2014 now, and people expect an adequate online gaming experience.
Well, then there's, I don't know, the thing about that is, like, and this goes with, like, a lot of companies that, with the U.S. working with Japan, Japan has, like, when it comes to these Japanese companies, Japan always gets first say. And, like, they get the last call on everything. I mean, okay. I'm pretty sure that Nintendo of America has pitched, let's do things like this. I'm sure we're not the only ones that have thought of this.
Metroid?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes. Yeah. Like things like that. And then there's stubborn old Japanese men that are still in the board of directors in Japan, like Nintendo's Japan, that just will just turn it down because... I mean, if you really want change, change has got to happen over there before it happens over here or globally. So, I mean, well, that just kind of kills the whole, what should we improve then?
Well, no.
Let's give those old Japanese men the boot and, like, throw in some new fresh guys. Because, like, I'm thinking Japan's willing to learn from us, like, as far as, like, the whole gaming industry goes. You read a couple articles from the... like, the Japanese greats that have developed, like, classics of our time. And, like, I'm pretty sure I've seen, like, every time, like, oh, well, there's some things that we can do that America's doing right now or Europe is doing. Like, as far as, like, video games go, that would help us, like, do a little bit better. And, like, it's just that it's... They're kind of, like, ignorant to that idea. Like, the majority of the Japanese people in the industry are ignorant to that idea. But, I don't know, one day there will be change. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't think it helps that you have apparently these stereotypical, like, anime-style, like, daimyo or whatever, like, sitting in the...
I know, and it sounds like that, but I've heard firsthand, like, I talked to a bunch of people at like that worked for Capcom, and they were telling me this. They probably weren't supposed to be telling me this, but they were telling this to me like firsthand, like their experience with like the changes they want to make within a company, and they just completely shoot it down because we are ignorant Americans. I mean, we're dumb Americans. So,
wow.
I mean, if I didn't hear that from like several people that work in a Japanese company, like then I would have been like, you know, I wouldn't have believed it so wholeheartedly. But
so in consideration of all these things, two things come to mind. First, when you do push too hard against these sort of obstinate Japanese leaders that are running the companies, you get these awful compromises like Metroid Other M, where Samus Aran, a proud heroine who everybody looks up to and loves, is reduced to like a sexual submissive, right, Brian?
Well, that's an undertone, and you can probably argue that or not argue that, but I think the worst example is she cacks her britches when she sees Ridley, who she's killed six times.
Yes. That's bad. And I guess that's an example of, like, I read that as, like, not only are we not going to concede that you dumb Americans might be right about Metroid, we're going to show you what Metroid really should be. Here's at Metroid Other M. Enjoy.
Well, that's the thing. They had another company work on it, namely Team Ninja, which is you could probably, like, see it as, they are a pretty sexist company. I mean,
what's their big title?
DOA.
Yep.
And, yeah. And, yeah, she kicks high. But, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they're not invested in the... Like, if they want to capture the American market, they got to make games that we kind of care about. Like, what have we been kind of clamoring for from Nintendo that they don't really touch on too much? Maybe another Metroid, maybe another Star Fox. You know,
an
like
actual
those are,
Kid Icarus.
Yeah, that would be great too. Maybe on that idea, they should. If they don't want to make the games, why not have a developer make those games over here or over in Europe? I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, they have Retro Studios over in Austin, Texas. They handled Metroid Prime and Donkey Kong, I think they revitalized Donkey Kong, really. And yeah, if they had more developers, and you know, it's a two-way street. The developer could probably pitch it to them and say like, "Hey, I saw that you really haven't touched this game recently.
Why don't
How about we go ahead and make it, you know?"
Right, well, these all sound like good ideas, and these sound like ideas that another Japanese company I can think of might be receptive to, namely Sony. Why doesn't Sony have this problem of stubborn leadership that doesn't seem to want to change or listen to reason? They've embraced the Western market, and they still serve the Eastern market.
Well, they have an American CEO, don't they?
Is it?
I think Sony of America is an American CEO.
Oh, yes, it is. It is.
Well, and that's the company responsible for the PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so they
The PS3 was really lacking in the beginning, but they've really, like, picked it up. And, like, towards the end of its life cycle, it was really a dominant machine. I mean...
Yes.
And with the PS4, like, it just kind of reflects. Like, they're kind of having their... No, that's a bad comparison. I was gonna say they're having their Super NES moment, but like, you know, having like a reputation and like it carried over to the next system, but
they're having another PlayStation 2 moment, let's say.
And that's actually a better way to put it, which is kind of funny, like, to say it like that. But yeah, it's true.
Good for them. I mean, perhaps Microsoft needed to be humbled to...
They did, because they completely wiped the floor with the 360. I mean, it was... I mean, granted, it was a dominated, like... Let's face it, America's, like they love their shooters, you know? And, like, I like them, too, sometimes, but I'm not going to be playing those every day. Like, if you give me a solid, like, JRPG or something, like, in the mix, like, yeah, it's going to work. I mean, they have, like, a Tales game or something, but that's besides the point. Yeah, like, they really, as you said, needed to be humbled, and it's definitely happened now. I don't know how they're going to really pick up from it, though.
A console war episode is yet a third new episode idea emerging from this conversation. But back to Nintendo, I don't know why they can't take a page out of Japanese rival Sony's book. I guess it's because Sony's structure is more international in nature. But let's get to the fun stuff. Let's assume that somehow we got the era of Nintendo and we can come up with awesome new games and variations on existing properties for the Wii U. I'm going to let you go first, Brian, because as the person who's least on board with Nintendo, I'd love to hear your take. Think of a killer app, a killer game, a killer variation on some Nintendo theme that you would like to see on the Wii U.
Besides the Super Game Boy.
That's a definite hardware peripheral that I think we all agree must be made. But any kind of software? Can you think of any games?
I can think of something. Give me a second to formalize it. You know what? Help me formalize it. Legend of Zelda MOBA.
Oh, interesting. So a MOBA being sort of that competitive, like, arena type game?
Yeah, a League of Legends.
Okay, a League of Legends, but Zelda-based. League of Zelda. What do you think about that, Nick?
Well, I'm not really a fan of that particular genre, but... it could probably work. I mean, don't they kind of already have that, but it's not MOBA, like, as far as arena style with, what's that called, Hyrule Warriors coming out, like, this month.
But that's mostly single player, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is mostly single player.
Brian's but proposing a really compelling, an exclusive multiplayer Wii U-only experience, an online experience that I think...
Yeah, that's asking for a lot. But it could definitely be, like, you know, that could happen. It's just you're going to have a lot of people raging and telling people to get off the fucking game if they don't know how to play it because they didn't play the... tutorial of how to understand that particular game.
That's good. I mean, that sounds like... I mean, I think Brian's identified a pretty key niche here that Nintendo has not filled. Like, I don't think they have any kind of hardcore online competitive game. Smash Brothers may change that to a certain extent, but a MOBA with Nintendo characters? It sounds like a no-brainer.
Oh, you mean to all the Nintendo characters? Or just Zelda?
He mentioned Zelda, but I mean, I could see it going further.
Right? Oh my god, Captain N's MOBA.
There you go.
Mega-rific. gotta get the raspy Mega Man, and then it's all...
I'm gonna Beatacus your Asicus. Oh, Kid Icarus, even though that's not your name, you're such a card, Dickus. Oh god, Captain N. Is Captain N owned by Nintendo, or was that a...
I think that was just, them riding the Nintendo train, really. Some company probably pitched it, slapped a little Nintendo on it, and or Nintendo gave them a little nod, and they kind of ran with it. I still need to revisit that show to see if it was as good as I remembered it to
no,
me. But
no,
I was a kid watching that, so different perspective when you're a kid.
It was bad. It was bad. We were older kids. It was bad. It was bad news. Yeah. Mother Brain sounded like Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors, for the record. The plant, the big talking plant.
Yeah. Yes, she did. She did.
Brian, good idea, man. I like it.
I dig it.
Did we take it and run with it in any other direction than what you were thinking, or did we kind of get it?
No, I like how you fleshed it out.
Awesome. All right, we're off to a great start. I think Nintendo, you know, we've put them solidly in second place with that one. Let's see if we can get them in contention for first place. Nick, you go next, man. What do you got?
Ooh. It's a... You see, this is hard because I really, really liked your idea. It almost like knocks out any other idea that I try to come into with. I mean, I guess like I could say something silly, like maybe like a Mario Brothers style, like GTA, a little more mature audience like thing going on.
Like an open world Mario game, kind of, with missions and stuff.
Yeah, and compelling storylines and such. Not really.
Well, it wouldn't. It could be Mario friendly, but I mean, I don't know, a dynamic kind of world like that where you're going through the Mushroom Kingdom and encountering little toads that need your help and all that. That could be kind of cool, and like fighting the little, like, you know, all of Bowser's little minions. That could be kind of awesome.
Yeah, I think if they had something like that, like a open world kind of thing, I think it would be a little different. I won't say that it would be the best-selling game, but it would, you know, give some variety to what everybody else is probably used to.
What do you think of that, Brian? And I don't know if the Zelda game that they were sort of teasing is in this vein, but like a Mario or any other Nintendo franchise you want set in a GTA kind of open world.
I think you could have a lot of fun with that. You don't... If you just say sandbox or something like that, you get away from like the, you know, the Grand Theft Auto grittiness. You know, Mario doesn't have to be a villain or anything. He could be more like a Red Dead Redemption.
Okay, and I think sandbox is the more appropriate term than open world that I should be using, right?
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't think of that either. That was a good point, Brian. Yeah, sandbox would have been more appropriate.
I mean, Grand Theft Auto is kind of the stereotype, but it's just too much like, no, he wouldn't have to be a Yakuza or anything like that.
That would be great. We could actually run with that, but yeah, I get you.
I kind of dig it, man. The notion of like going into little shops and like buying power-ups and like the cars would all be like Mario Kart-style cars. I think it could be really cool.
Oh, that's funny. I need my fix, man. Another mushroom.
And then if you added an online component where friends could join in, holy cow. I'm all about the online components.
Oh, yeah. Online could always be touched up on. But Tom, speaking of, I'm kind of more interested in your idea overall. Like,
okay.
Holy right. crap. You got me on board with that. Go ahead and enlighten the listeners.
Okay. All right. My elevator pitch was Halo set in the Metroid universe. So I started with that, and then Nick and I discussed it, and I think I mentioned it to you as well, Brian. We sort of fleshed it out from there. Basically, an awesome first-person shooter game set in the Metroid universe. I know we've already had those with Metroid Prime, but more in the vein of Halo, where Samus is in the universe, but you are a space marine, and you're fighting the space pirates, and you're fighting these different factions, and the actual Metroid creatures have reemerged as a threat to the galaxy. So they're analogous to the Flood from Halo. And you've got this like sense of just scale that I think Metroid games, even the FPS games, have kind of lacked. Not to mention, again, an amazing online component where you are playing as any of the factions against each other. I think that could be killer.
I think you could even update that to like brand new timeliness Destiny set in Metroid's world.
Man, as the words were tumbling out of my mouth, I was thinking Destiny, and I couldn't agree more, man. Destiny set in that universe with Samus as like an NPC who, you know, who is out there, or maybe she's lost, you know what I mean?
And that boils down to what, like, ultimately the people that should develop that game, it really should be Bungie to make that your particular game.
Okay, we talked earlier about how Nintendo needs to just throw, like, a chunk of change at somebody. Bribe Bungie. Like, guys, we want what you do, but in our Metroid universe. Can you make that happen? And then Bungie will say, okay, if you have plenty of money, yes, we can. And there you go.
Oof, that would be killer.
I dare say that would be a system seller. I think that would be awesome.
That's a good call.
Play the role of a bounty hunter in the vein of Samus. You're going around to different planets doing missions. You're There's the whole backstory of the Space Marines fighting, or I think it's the Space Federation, whatever they're called, fighting these forces. Like, there's so many directions you could go, and I think, especially if you played the Prime games with all their in-game lore and stuff, there's a lot of actual lore in the Metroid universe that's underappreciated, because Metroid's underappreciated because the obstinate Daimo guy over in Japan doesn't really like it. Am I painting that picture correctly? Like, I'm talking about, like, the, like, gravelly voice, like, what are you doing? Like, guy from, like, anime? Like, that guy. He's running Nintendo in my mind.
I wouldn't put it past them if they had a scenario like that. Let's say you're not too far off.
Sure, sure. Brian, you're digging this? Like, you added the Destiny flavor to it, which makes it even better. You think we got a killer app here?
PvP for training. Capture the flag. You could have, realm versus realm. So somebody can choose to be a space pirate.
Yes, yes!
There's endless worlds. Oh no, Omicron P-38 was captured by the Metroids. You must go clear them out.
Yes, yes! Metroid Galactic War! Come on!
This would work. Just make sure when they make this, they throw royalties.
I agree. Actually, I want to play this so badly, I would just, like, forsake all royalties. Just put me in as an NPC or something. Like,
don't speak too soon. Yeah, because that ends up being, like, a multi-million seller, even billion seller. You're going to, like, kick yourself on the
butt.
Hey,
I want royalties
that.
After all.
Yeah.
Like, think of how cool the mechanics could be with the power-ups that Metroid's so famous for, too.
I know!
Ooh.
Like, getting the Varia suit, the wave cannon, like, that kind of stuff, Brian?
Well, getting them and then using them on different missions.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Oh, shit, I'm not kitted out for this. I have to go back to the ship and start all over.
Right, it's a lava world, so I need the Varia suit. Oh, my God. And, like, not to mention you could have your own ship that you fly around in. Like, there's just so much you could do! Man, I really, 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 I want to play this.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy Destiny and just pretend it's...
Nice.
Man, like, this is, I think, the point we've been driving at. Like, all Nintendo has to do is look around. The answers are all around them. They just... And they have every right, in my opinion, to look around and borrow heavily from all their competitors, because the whole gaming industry owes itself to borrowing from Nintendo. So I have no problem.
Yeah, it's that's circle of life.
Cue the Lion
King.
Well,
and more importantly, everyone else is doing it.
They are, and they're doing it... great success. So, I mean, come on, Nintendo, get with the program. And I speak as somebody who absolutely loves you. Just see what's out there. You know you can do it better. Do it better. Come on, please.
I mean, the whole Japanese culture is built on stealing things and making it better. I mean, you can't
right.
do it with a video game, but you did it with green tea and shit like that. Come
exactly.
on.
I mean, come on. You let a bunch of silly Westerners make... Destiny? I mean, you guys could surely do better.
This is compelling.
And I'll just mention this as a footnote, because I know this is an actual money printing machine, but I'm not real fond of the idea. Obviously, the Pokemon MMORPG has to take place. Duh.
Oh, it's going to happen one day. It will. And it has to happen on a console, not handheld. When it happens on console, like, heads will explode.
Has happened on the Wii U. Your stupid controller is your Pokedex. Duh. Brian.
Or maybe it doesn't even have to wait for the Wii U. It can wait for the next Nintendo system.
Hey, whatever it takes.
I gotta say, I think this would be a really great use of a portable. Because you can theme it as your console is your Pokeball. And when somebody else gets near, they're alerted and they challenge you and you have to whip out your Pokemon.
Yes, yes.
And it wouldn't be like, oh, we're walking around this game or anything like that. You would be walking around in reality and have to be the very best.
Did the existing nice. Pokemon games have Street Pass features?
Not that I'm familiar with.
I'm willing to say if they do, they're tacked on. They're not the first
Yeah,
point.
That's the best way to put it. I'm sure it's tacked on.
Man, do that and then somehow link the 3DS with the Wii U. So that, like, some, you know, elements of your exploits in a 3DS game transfer into the Wii U MMORPG, or whatever system the MMORPG is eventually made, and you've got a money printing press on your hands.
Dude, think of how awesome mall tours would be, like, if the trainer showed up.
Yes! Holy cow! Oh, God, Nintendo...
Or you could just... Why does it have to be in person? Just have Nintendo buy something like Oculus Rift or develop them themselves, and, you know, we can be like drones. Like,
don't even get me started on VR.
Hey, man, it's gonna work. It's gonna work.
I'm just picturing so many, like, 48-year-old, like, you know, remember the South Park episode with the World of Warcraft player? I'm imagining that guy, but with a Pikachu shirt on and a VR headset. Brian, do you think I'm far off the mark on that?
Yeah, I'm just kind of creeped out by, like, the endless line of people ready to fight Misty.
Bro, I got a mod that makes you naked.
Nice.
Oh, man. Guys, there you have it. We have single-handedly catapulted Nintendo to the top of the heap, where they rightfully belong. I mean, I think we can all agree.
Oh, of course.
Brian, I think we can all agree, right?
I love the company. I would not be so disappointed with them if I didn't think they deserve to be on top.
Yes, yes. Good, good. That's what I like to hear. You're hurt most by those you love most. I think that's the bottom line. Oh, wow. I think we've accomplished our mission here, guys, with this episode. I think we can adjourn unless you have any other final thoughts on improving Nintendo.
I think we pretty much hit all the nails on this, on what we wanted to accomplish. I think we got our point across. I don't have anything else to contribute.
Well, you've contributed a lot, and I think that you have been an excellent Nintendo consultant and advocate. Brian, do you concur?
I do.
Listeners, hopefully we will be able to bribe Nick into coming back. We happen to find ourselves with a host opening, and Nick happens to be a great podcast host, so hopefully we could talk him into coming on the show on the regular.
We'll see what the future has for us.
Indeed we will, indeed we will. But I will tell you, listeners, what the future has in store for you. More great episodes of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. You can enjoy each and every one of those episodes by subscribing to us on iTunes or whatever other podcatching software you happen to use and rating us favorably and writing us awesome reviews. And if that is not to your liking, why not try streaming? Why not try streaming our podcast on the excellent streaming service known as Stitcher?
Don't forget to stay in touch by liking us on Facebook.
The Twitters, do you guys use Twitter?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I couldn't think of any more. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, G+, and join our Facebook group, the Nerdstravaganza HQ.
And then I guess on top of that, I might as well suggest to check out nerdstravaganza.com and to email you guys, maybe us, I can include myself, at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Excellent. Well done. And in parting, I will say, dear listeners, continue to play with power.